The devil, the tempter, says to Jesus, "Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Jesus says to the devil, the tempter, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." I know that what Jesus says is profound and true, but I've wondered, how does it sound to someone who is hungry? Someone who is really dangerously hungry, without enough food or without any food at all. How does speaking of the sustenance of God's word sound to someone who is truly hungry? Now, granted, Jesus is hungry. Jesus has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. So Jesus is hungry. He is famished. But it's different to choose to be hungry, to fast, different than it is for someone who is truly hungry and doesn't know where any food is coming from. I personally don't know what it's like to be hungry in that way. I know what it's like to feel hungry, even when I say I'm starving sometimes, to be dramatic. But I have never had a day in my life that I didn't know that I would have food or ever worried that I would have food in the coming days. I've always had enough, more than enough. How about you? Do you know what it's like to be hungry? Not in the way of just feeling hunger, but hunger of the sort that you don't have enough and you aren't sure if you will have enough for you or your loved ones in the future. Not many of us ever have or will be hungry in that way. Not Jesus either, famished as he was. But there are lots of hungry people in the world. There were then, there are now, so many, too many truly hungry people. So, how does it sound to a hungry person for Jesus to say and for us to reflect on in a place of worship, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God"? Might one who is hungry perhaps say, "Well, okay, but I need some bread"? I love this story, the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. I love it as a profound story for God's people. It's profound for us to reflect on. It's helped the church over time to know better who Jesus is, who we are as followers of Jesus. But what got me thinking of how this all might sound to a person who is hungry is the theme that we have developed for this Lenten season. Collaboration of Hope Church folks came up with this theme of elements, described in this way. The spirituality of these Lenten texts is discovered in the everyday elements of creation. These stories don't take us away from the tumult of life, but reveal God in the midst of the stories that are unfolding around us and the elements that ground us. That's good. That's really good to reflect on. Physical elements that direct our spirituality into the tumult of life and God's presence there in the midst. So I've wondered how we might hear bread and this temptation of Jesus about bread speaking to the tumult of a world where there are hungry people. How could it ground us in responding faithfully to such a world? Well, to do that, how about if we talk about another temptation story first, in Genesis 3. I love this story too, peculiar and profound as it is. And it's only had centuries of commentaries and mountains of material written about it as a touchstone of theology over the centuries. So rather than trying to unpack all of this story and the meaning that has been made of it, I want to give a perhaps unusual take on what is happening in this story by talking about a C.S. Lewis book. C.S. Lewis wrote a science fiction trilogy. If any of you read that, it's a trilogy with a theological spin to it. Some of you have. And the second book in the trilogy is called Perelandra. And Perelandra is a planet that is basically an unspoiled Eden, complete with its own Eve and Adam. And this planet is visited by a man from Earth. You have to read it for the whole plot line. It's quite complicated. But I want to tell you about an incident about when this man arrives on the planet Perelandra. He is hungry. He's famished. He's thirsty. And he finds a piece of fruit. And he bites into this fruit. And he describes the taste to be of such a pleasure that nations would go to war and betray one another just to have a piece of this fruit. That's how good this fruit tastes. And he consumes it. He devours it. And immediately he reaches for another. And as he does so, he realizes he is no longer hungry, and no longer thirsty. But he wants another. The pleasure of it was so great. And he knows that on Earth, people probably would fight wars for this fruit, and that if he was on Earth, he probably would have another. But here on Perelandra, in Eden, it occurs to him, this is enough. It surprises him to think this, but it is a good surprise. And he chooses to have no more, just the abundance of enough. The story of Adam and Eve in God's good creation is a story of abundance. Everything they need, no hunger or want. And part of that abundance is limits. A limit of something perhaps they might want, but that they do not need. Do you think that part of abundance can be limits? That a limit is not a diminishment of, but something essential to abundance? If you're not sure about that, you're probably a human being. You wonder about and you test limits. You wonder if abundance simply means more. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and agree with God in this story, all right? That limits are essential to abundance. God creates a world in which abundance has inherent within it limits, and the limits are not diminishment, they are good. And if that seems like it's just me taking sides with the boss in agreeing with God, let me make clear, I also have trouble understanding and accepting the limits of my humanity, of this world, of creation. But let me also say that to live into this truth of limits woven into the goodness of abundance, that it can open our eyes, to turn a phrase, to how we are grounded in God's world and how we're called to be faithful in the tumult of this world. See, to go back to Matthew, when Jesus is tempted to turn stones into bread, it seems to me that it is a temptation that has to do with his humanity. The tempter addresses Jesus as the Son of God, and yes, that's true, and Jesus is human too. You see, the tempter is very clever at leaving out important details, both here and in Eden. And as a human, Jesus had limits. We humans are not able to sate our hunger by turning stones into bread. What we do have, what Jesus had, is God's creation and God's word. And it does not say in God's word, one lives only by the word of God. One lives by bread and word together. And that is enough. Here's what I've been thinking about this week. That the word of God of which Jesus speaks has plenty to say about being hungry and about hunger. Being hungry is good. It invites us to partake of bread, of sustenance, of the amazing abundance and flavor of God's creation. It is remarkable to eat, to enjoy. I enjoy it. For there to be hungry people is not good. People who do not have bread to eat. That is to be cut off from the gifts of God's creation, unable to enjoy and to flourish. The beautiful truth of God's word is it tells us there is enough in God's creation. And the convicting truth of God's word is that it is because we do not live within the good limits God has given that there are hungry people in this world. We have come to believe the tempter in Genesis that says that abundance is only about more. We have come to believe the tempter in Matthew that says there is not enough in God's world. As individuals who focus on wanting more, as communities who seek our own advantage, as a church that seeks its own triumph, as a nation addicted to more power, more security, more privilege, more success. In all those ways, we've reached beyond the abundance God has already given, and in doing so, brought upon ourselves what is deadly. Possession and power kept only through conflict. Suffering and diminishment inflicted on too many. Emptiness and despair that does not recognize God's gifts within us. We have not trusted the truth from God that there is enough in God's abundant creation, not trusted the truth that simply enough is good. Two temptation stories. What happens when we hear those two stories together this day? One thing that can happen is this. As a community, as individuals, together we can live into the wisdom of this proverb. Enough is as good as a feast. Together with me, reflect on that in this Lenten season. Enough is as good as a feast. Try to believe it. Try to live it. Listen for God's abundance in the limits that God speaks to us, that enough is very good. Listen, reflect, enough. Because as we do that, it will turn us again to what this all may sound like to those who are truly hungry, to those near and far who suffer from limits crossed, who suffer what is deadly in the midst of God's creation. Because by God's grace, what this story may sound like is God's people living out God's word. God's creative gifts of justice and mercy, of compassion and conviction at work through us toward a world where there can be enough for all. We have the gifts of God's creation and of God's presence. We have sustenance from the ground and from the Spirit. We have baked bread and spiritual bread, and they are never meant to be separated. Together they nourish us to trust God's abundance of enough, to nourish us to live into the calling of a community that proclaims in God's world there is enough for all. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.